Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
And we are going 3 hours on non-game days in the playoffs, 4 to 7 here on Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, the Oilers and the LA Kings game 2 tomorrow. The show will go 4 to 6, and then Reed Wilkins will have the City Ford Faceoff show from 6 to 8 in the next couple hours for Wow Factor Desserts. Brian Lawton, former Edmonton Oilers head coach, Ron Lowe, Rob Brown from the Oilers Radio Network, and we'll have the Farm Report with Colin Chalk. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue. Open Monday to Saturday, and you can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, 780-496-0063, the River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it as we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. We welcome back former NHL player, GM, and agent Brian Lawton for Wow Factor Desserts. Indulge in a zesty taste bud twist with their sumptuous Pucker Up Lemon Cupcake. Visit wowfactordesserts.com and let spring sweetness bloom. Hello, Brian. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, Bob. How are you?
Good. What did you think of Edmonton's game last night?
I thought Edmonton played tremendous. I thought LA looked overwhelmed early in that game. I feel that LA will play much better, to be honest with you. They just got completely swamped. In today's trivia, there's four players with Edmonton ties that are tied or in first or second in points in the playoffs, all averaging almost 4 points or more a game. Who are they, Bob? Who's the four guys?
Well, you got, you got a guy named Connor. He had 5 assists. You had Evan Bouchard with 4 assists. You had Zach Hyman with a hat trick. And you had Leon and Adam Henrique with a goal and assist each.
All right, but there's one more person with Edmonton ties that also has 4 points.
Would you like to
Who's that player?
Would you like to share who that is? Jake DeBrusk.
I sure will. Exactly. Congratulations. We're going to give you a free Wild Factor dessert.
Oh, okay.
Pick your choice.
There we go. Well, Jake would. Now, he is represented by the agency that you used to be with Octagon. It will be interesting to see what happens. We're totally pivoting here. It will be interesting to see what happens with Jake this summer with the Boston Bruins, because they seem to prioritize signing their NCAA players. That's my perception as to what's occurred in Boston over the last several years.
That's right. I think for Jake, he's off to a great start, and I think it's really important for him. He had a good year this year, but not a great year for what people expect for him, and as is for all players, if you don't finish where you want in the regular season, this is your chance, particularly if you get to free agency, a chance to ring the bell. So a lot of people watching Jake very closely. I know a lot of teams like this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, McDavid, 5 assists. Evan Bouchard, 4 assists. Boy, how many times have we talked about Evan Bouchard over the years, Brian Lawton, on this show?
Well, we used to talk to him about him in a more frustrated way, but he's really blossomed into the player that, quite frankly, a lot of people thought he could be. And that's great to see. There's still flaws in his game. I think he's going to continue to get better for the next 3 or 4 years, personally, and I mean in a big way. And his future is very bright in terms of being literally a top 10 defenseman in this league.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, it's still, we were having this discussion down at the earlier today with some of the people around the team. And just to think back that Dave Tippett, who's a friend of yours, and Jim Playfair, and you and me had a lot of animated conversations on Bouchard, but they were basically playing Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones ahead of him. And I thought the ceiling would suggest that Bouchard needed to at least play ahead of one of those two guys, if not both. And here we are, and, you know, Ethan's unfortunately had some challenges off the ice. We wish him nothing but the best of luck. but he's bounced around from Edmonton to Carolina, Carolina to Vancouver, Vancouver to Washington. He's now currently in the program. And Caleb Jones, signed by Chicago, they elected not to keep him. He's actually playing for Colorado right now because Girard's hurt. And Bouchard, all he did this year is finish top five in the league in defense scoring.
Yeah, to be fair to the people that managed Evan along the lines, I mean, we had the same deal in Tampa, and it's just as ludicrous as what we're talking about, and that was that UC Jokinen and Jeff Halpern, Jeff was a client of mine before I was the general manager there, were playing more than Steven Stamkos. And the fact of the matter is, they were better at that moment in time, but very much like Evan, you could see that if you get them the reps, they will pass up some of these other players that maybe at this very moment can help you win more. And that's really the difference between coaching and management. Coaches will go with the player that can help them now. Management will look a little bit long-term. And that's really all that happened with Evan. Yeah. You know, people wanted to make sure it's done right so that Evan has a much more fruitful career for himself, for the organization, for all the vested parties. But it's not as uncommon. We're kind of picking on it, but the reality is I saw the exact same thing. I handled it differently. I just started trading those players that were playing more.
You took the options away from the coaching staff is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's funny. We're joined by Brian Lott. So Brian, I think a team takes on a little bit of the personality of the coach, okay? And Chris Knobloch, and I realize he had high-scoring teams in Erie, but at Kootenay, his teams were, they could defend, and they were disciplined. And people say, what are you talking about, Stauffer, you loser? They gave up four goals against. Take a look at how those four goals went in. They got two goals off of the skates of Oilers players, and another goal off a exploding stick of Cody Ceci. Edmonton did a decent job defending in that game. A lot of shots from the perimeter, and LA got some ricochets and some bounces. But the tenor of the coach as well on the bench, you know, does he have the team under control because he's under control? What's your headspace on that?
I think Chris is terrific. This will be a backhanded compliment. I don't know what the Canadian feed had last night. I was watching an American broadcast for this game, but they interviewed Chris, and it's pretty vanilla, but it's also very calm and composed. But I can honestly say that Chris is one of the few guys that I know as coaches that in my past job at NHL Network, I wouldn't be worried about Chris replacing me. And yet, I absolutely love the way he handles the team. I love how calm he is. He's never out of control. I think it's very, very beneficial for younger players to have a coach like that, particularly if you can add in being a good communicator one-on-one behind scenes, which I believe Chris is. So I love the guy personally. I think he's doing a great job. I never heard more about him than from you, but he has really made you look good and backed it up because he's done a really great job with this club.
The Oilers is the only team in the NHL with an above 700 winning percentage since Knobloch was named the head coach back on November the 13th. So it's one game, but Edmonton had not won a game one at home in a playoff series, Brian, since May 2nd of 1990. They won game one at home of a playoff series against the Chicago Blackhawks round three en route to winning their fifth Stanley Cup. The current generation of Oilers, which is McDavid, let's just say McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Darnell Nurse, because those four have been through it all. 2017, they lost game one to San Jose at home, came back and won the series. They 2020 Chicago play-in bubble. They played the Hawks, lost game one of that series. 2021 against the Jets, 2-1 game, 1-1 game. Jets got a late one to go up 2-1, two empty netters. Oilers lose game one of that series at home in 2021. The last 2 years, they lost game ones against L.A. Doesn't matter that they won game one last night.
It definitely matters. But like I said, I do think LA will play much better. They're not going to be as overwhelmed as they were. Part of the explosion for Edmonton was, in my opinion, Connor had a rest down the stretch, including missing a game purposely, but definitely retracted minutes from what he normally plays, and he was flying. And him and Leon are two of the perhaps the greatest playoff players that haven't won a championship yet. Until they do that, I don't think you get to be included in that category. That's just a part of the deal. But they were just ready to roll. They looked rested. They looked in control of their games. And LA couldn't match it in any way, shape, or form. That game was not nearly as close as the score ended up being. And yet, as I've said three times now, I'm telling you, the LA Kings will play much better.
Yeah, there's no question about that. By the way, McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have the third and fourth most points in the playoffs through their first 50 games. So last night was game number 50 for both players. Connor's at 80 and Leon's at 79. The only two players that are ahead of them are Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So they're right there with those guys, but if you want to be with those guys forever, you have to win a Stanley Cup, at least one.
Does it mean anything that Marner and Matthews are at 47 in 52 games played? Both guys have 47 points in the 52 games played that they've played. And again, in the 50 games that McDavid and Draisaitl have played, they're third and fourth all time with 80 and 79 points, respectively.
Those guys are really good players. And last night, to be honest with you, I watched the Boston game before Edmonton, Boston-Toronto, of course, and Austin Matthews was the difference. Much like Connor McDavid was in the game last night for Edmonton. However, it doesn't look the way Connor did it, or does it, on a nightly basis. They're just different players. Austin is a great player, should have scored 70 goals this year. Probably, you know, at times other players don't get some of the attention they deserve. Because not only is Connor the best player in the league, but he also does it with the most flair. And it doesn't matter that Edmonton is not Toronto or New York or some other giant market in this league. I think people that love this game universally recognize where Connor's at. And, you know, the story is about one-third into the entirety of it.
Yeah.
We still got two-thirds to go, and that's generally when the greatness really happens for players of his ilk on a team level.
We're joined right now by Brian Lott. Brian, last night, and we have not talked about it until right now for a reason. Last night, the Vegas Golden Knights went into Dallas. I thought Dallas was the best team that I saw in the second half of the season. They were deep. Now, they outshot Vegas quite handily, but less than 2 minutes in, Mark Stone comes off of LTIR and scores. I'm sure you have no issue with the Vegas Golden Knights and Kelly McCrimmon exposing every potential loophole, or whatever the case, in terms of the LTIR. It's just doing business, isn't it? In terms of how, you know, the fact that
to me it is. That's what your job is. You know, Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights are not breaking any rules. Yes, I've already heard from some people that are upset the way that played out, but that's a silly argument to me. If Mark Stone didn't score last night, then it would be fine. You know, so the way it played out, it didn't look great, but other teams have done similar things. In Vegas's case, you know, it was pretty monumental that they were able to add players that they were able to add, particularly in Tomas Hertl, also adding, of course, Noah Hanifin and Mantha. And you really can't do that if you don't have some guys on LTI. That's just the reality of it. Are these guys faking injuries? No, absolutely not. I speak to the leadership at the NHL. I can assure you that everything that happens at this level now, because it is a bit of a hot point, gets checked and double checked and checked again. So Does it pass the smell test? Not for everybody, but is Kelly McCrimmon doing anything that's illegal in the system? Absolutely not. He's using the rules to the fullest extent. It's exactly what I would do, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you this. Has the complexion changed on the Vancouver Canucks if Thatcher Demko can't play?
Yes. That could be a really devastating blow for them. It's terrible news, obviously, if he can't play for the Vancouver Canucks.
I mean,
it's a game changer.
I thought they were pretty good in that game against Nashville. Like, they physically took it to Nashville right from the get. Not as badly as Carolina dominated the New York Islanders last night, but they were the better team. They deserve the fate they got. I got a final one for you, and I'm not sure you're going to want to comment on it. We were in Arizona last week, Brian. It's come to an end for the Coyotes. Ryan Smith now has the team in Salt Lake. I think they're going to meet the players tomorrow. Any thoughts? I mean, you know that market pretty well.
Ryan Smith's going to be a great owner in this league. I think a lot of people hoped or wished that Arizona could have stayed. It didn't work out. I won't say any more than that now.
All right. Well, give me a call. Let me know if you need a guy in Western Canada. I might know somebody.
All right.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll hook up next week, okay?
Always my pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
You bet. That is Brian Lawton joining us for Wow Factor Desserts. It is 5:22 at Edmonton. That was funny. Wow Factor Desserts. Indulge in a zesty taste bud twist with their sumptuous Pucker Up Lemon Cupcake. Visit wowfactordesserts.com and let spring sweetness bloom. We go to the Oilers now. Injury report brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Edmonton's completely healthy. Evander Kane playing through a bit of a sports hernia issue. The Oilers recalled Philip Broberg for a day. He took the pregame skate last night. He's going back down. He's expected to be in the lineup when Bakersfield take on Ontario on Wednesday. Game two of that series, by the way, Saturday night in Bakersfield. Guess who's going? That's right. You got it. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott, Jeff Walker with you on Oilers Now. We hear a lot of comments about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. At the same time, consumers are keeping their vehicles longer. Repair costs start to be in play. The team at Brentridge Ford is working to help. They've assembled over 30 Escapes in Bronco Sports that can provide reliable and affordable transportation for fair and open vehicle ownership. Call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt at 780-352-6048. Brentridge Ford on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Ron Lowe coming up, former Edmonton Oilers head coach. He orchestrated a couple huge upsets in the late 1990s. He's part of, as always, Hockey Helps the Homeless. He's going to come down the pipe at 534 after a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Gilbert.